Let's turn to Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, as we continue in our study through the book of Daniel. And we're only going to do one verse in Daniel 9 today, but we're going to be doing lots of other verses. So I hope you have your Bible, and for those not familiar with where books are laid out, you might want to keep your finger in the table of contents in the front. My goal today is to be able to tie in this phenomenal verse in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, which is such a key in the whole of unlocking so many other ideas of the coming Antichrist, the tribulation period, the mid-tribulation period, the great tribulation. And in fact, it's from this verse in the book of Daniel that we can know that the Antichrist will be making a seven-year covenant in the September-October timeframe. We can know that the abomination of desolation that Daniel speaks about in this verse is going to happen in the Jewish feast of Passover time, which makes so much sense in the sense that the Antichrist is really coming as an instead of Christ. He's going to be lifting himself up to be worshipped as God. Well, Jesus was lifted up on the cross to die for our sins upon the cross. And he was God incarnate. He was God in flesh, surrendering his life as the Messiah, suffering and dying on our behalf for our sins on Passover. And so the Antichrist is going to be declaring himself to be God, going and committing abomination of desolation in a rebuilt Jewish temple on that same feast. We can know from Scripture that we're going to be covering today and tying with other places. And so today our study is Daniel's abomination of desolation, his teaching on the abomination of desolation, something that Jesus alluded to in his teachings on Olivet Discourse. He says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, then you know that you should do this and this. And it's this section of Scripture, this verse in Scripture, that we will be looking at. And again, the importance of this, many people in Jesus' day did not listen to the prophets, and therefore they died. They died fighting the Romans. They died hanging in there with Jerusalem, you know, thinking they were going to be delivered by the Messiah because they did not listen to Jesus, because they did not listen to the prophets, because they didn't listen to Daniel. We're living possibly in a time leading up to the last of the last days, and many people are wasting their time and energies because they aren't considering the days that we're probably in. And if we progress even further and it becomes so clear that we're in the last of the last, which if these wars do, you know, this Gaza war escalates into a fulfillment of Psalm 83 and Isaiah 17, we're there. We're going to be there. We'll probably still be here after those wars as a church, but it will be so obvious, and God will want us to be aware of these things so we're not wasting our time, and actually so that we get more of an urgency to share while there's still time with the people who are not prepared for the things coming upon the world. So just as a review of the verses we covered last week, for those that weren't here, we'll start with verse 24 and go through 26 and then cover 27. 70 weeks, literally, we covered this last week, so I'm just going to go over what we spent lots of time on. 70 weeks, literally 70 sevens, and what it was is literally 70 sevens of years. 70 times 7 years, 490 years. Daniel, there's going to be 490 years are determined for your people, the Jews, for your holy city, Jerusalem, is what he's talking about, to finish the transgression. And this is so important even for our study today. Remember what he's saying. At the end of this 490 years, these things are going to be accomplished, to finish transgression, to make an end of all sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. To anoint Jesus as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, sitting on his throne in Jerusalem, as the Old Testament prophets and Revelation says, the book of Revelation, the New Testament is saying is going to happen. So at the end of this 490 years, all these things are done. Sin is dealt with. It's all done. The rebellion of man is all done. And Jesus will be reigning for 1,000 years here on earth on his throne. Satan's loosed. He deceives people again. And then the final kingdom of heaven with a new heaven and a new earth are established as Revelation teaches. Verse 25, know therefore and understand, as Daniel's given more information about this 490 years, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem, Last week we saw that as 457 about B.C., something, 445 B.C., doesn't matter. Right about then, that's when the stopwatch, the 490-year stopwatch starts, a commandment to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem after they had been destroyed by Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. The Jews are now being told to return, and Daniel's being told in the future, not many years in the future, there's going to be a commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. From that time, start the clock, from that time until Messiah the Prince, and we looked at that last week, till he comes to fulfill his ministry, the first coming as the suffering Messiah, there shall be 7 weeks, seven sevens of years, and 62 weeks of years, a total of 483 years. So from the time a commandment is given to restore Jerusalem until the Messiah comes is 483 of those 490 years. There's still a seven-year period of time left to occur because it's clear the stopwatch stopped. When Messiah came the first time, God stopped it. And then he tells us when he's going to start it again. In verse 27, he starts it, and there's one more seven-year period of time that when it's completed, then going back to verse 24, when it's completed, then finish the transgression, make an end of sins, because Jesus comes back. Jesus comes back, puts an end to man's rebellion on earth, in his visible second coming from the clouds as the lightning shines from the east to the west, Jesus said. He comes back, he restores this planet to a time of his kingdom ruling on earth. And so, 483 years, all but 7 years of this entire prophecy, stopwatch stops, one more seven left. The street of Jerusalem, and he's talking about in the 400s B.C., shall be built again in the wall, even in troublesome times. And it was. It was built in troublesome times. We covered that in detail last week. And after the 62 sevens, which is really after the 69 sevens, because there was seven and then 62 for a total of 69. So after the 483 years, from the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah, Messiah shall be cut off. Daniel prophesied that Messiah would come and then he would be killed. Cut off means killed sacrificially. Prophesied that this Messiah, when he came, would be killed, but not for himself. After he's killed, it says, and the people, Roman Empire, of the prince who is to come, and this is what's complicated, the prince who is to come here, we will see very clearly, is the future to us, Antichrist. So there's going to be a prince who's going to come. It really, prince means a ruler. There's a ruler who's coming, and he will come out of the Roman Empire. Last week I said that means he has to come out of Europe. But I had made the point earlier that unlike Babylon, which was clearly conquered by the Medo-Persians, and the Medo-Persians clearly conquered by the Greeks, and the Greeks clearly conquered by the Romans weren't clearly conquered by another world empire. They kind of morphed into, really, their philosophy of government has morphed into what has become the West. Democracy. Senate, which we're trying to push on the world. And the final world government that's coming, there's another world government coming, it'll be this democracy and government and rulers, and yet there will be a dictator, the Antichrist. And so I really should have made the point that he might come out of something other than Europe, because I'd already made the point, Rome is now kind of spread outside of Europe. So, and the people, but at the time, you know, of the destruction of the temple that Daniel is talking about, the people, the Roman Empire, of the prince who is to come, so the future Antichrist is going to come out of the West, let's say. I think it could still be just Europe, but it'll come out of this Europe, Roman Empire kind of rule that still exists to this day, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. So the people of this prince is going to come and destroy the city and the sanctuary, which he did in 70 AD. The Roman Empire in 70 AD, under Caesar, telling his general Titus, who later became Caesar, Titus, you go destroy Jerusalem, took three Roman legions, destroyed Jerusalem, conquered and slaughtered the Jews. The end of it shall be with a flood of troops and people, and it was, until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Most of the Jews died that were alive in those days as a result of this conquest. 530-ish B.C., Daniel is writing, There's going to be this long period of time from a commandment to restore, rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince comes. Then he's going to die. After he dies, there's going to be a people that destroys the temple and the sanctuary, the temple sanctuary and city of Jerusalem. And there's a dispersion of the people and many are going to die. All fulfilled. All fulfilled exactly as Daniel said. But there's still this 7-year period of time left. It hasn't been fulfilled because then we see what comes in verse 27, and I'm just going to read it, and then we'll look more carefully about it. Then he, the prince who is to come, according to verse 26, this Antichrist, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, for 1 7-year period of time. There's going to be a 7-year peace treaty. But in the middle of that seven, the middle of that week of years, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. So, this verse 27, between verse 26 and 27, we see that there's been nearly 2,000 years. And if you were before Jesus reading Daniel, you wouldn't have even dreamed there's 2,000 years between. You wouldn't have even thought. You would have thought it's just going to flow. It's not the only place. I have listed in, you know, the notes of my Bible 6 or 7 places where we now know. There's a 2,000-year gap sometimes in the middle of a sentence because it's a mystery. Even Paul explained this time of the church is a mystery that was not revealed until the apostles came, until Jesus really explained and birthed the church on the day of Pentecost. But the Jews should have understood that it made no sense how all the prophecies could come to pass where the Messiah is cut off and yet he rules. And so he must return. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 6, because I want to, you know, look at what did the Jews think when they knew the scriptures talk about. There's dozens of places in the Old Testament that talk about a Jewish Messiah that comes and rules. But as we've studied in the book of Daniel, Daniel says he comes and dies sacrificially. So let's think about the disciples of Jesus, the 12 disciples, or narrowing it down to the ones that really believed, 11, skipping Judas. We can, anybody that's read the Gospels realize they're thinking any second he's going to just set up his kingdom. And he keeps on telling them, no, I'm going to be betrayed, spit upon, crucified, raised on the third day. But they don't believe him, and they just think he's going to set up his kingdom. But again, if they would have listened to Daniel, they would have said, Daniel says the Messiah, a commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, Messiah comes, and then he's cut off, but not for himself. Jesus, please explain to us how you're cut off, and then you also rule. How do you come? We're thinking that you're going to set up and cleanse the temple and you'll be sitting on your throne here in Jerusalem. But Daniel said, but some people come and they destroy the temple sanctuary and the city of Jerusalem. How are you going to let people destroy this whole city of Jerusalem and the temple if you're going to rule? And Jesus did explain to them that you are going to see all this destroyed in Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13. You're going to see it destroyed, but I'm coming back. He's going to come back and do it again. So they still didn't believe. He said that before he was crucified, but they didn't listen to him. And so now after the resurrection, they would have said, oh, okay, so you were cut off, as Daniel said, but now you're back. Acts chapter 1, verse 6, it says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, he's been walking around with them for 40 days, getting ready to ascend into heaven. They asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to do it now? You're going to set your kingdom up now, Jesus? It's like you're kind of talking like you're leaving. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times of the season which the Father has put in his own authority. And some people have twisted this to say that God was saying, Jesus was saying, don't worry about prophecy. Don't think about prophecy. You're not supposed to worry about this stuff. Well, we know that's not true, because less than 40 days earlier, he was giving the Olivet Discourse just before he was crucified, and he laid out the exact details of prophecy, and he told them what was going on. So what he's really saying to them is really, I've already told you, this is not going to be in your generation, this is coming. Because I told you just weeks ago, this whole city gets destroyed. just, and he didn't say in the Olivet Discourse like Daniel said, but they should have known that. And you're going to be scattered through all the nations of the world. You're going to be hated for my name's sake. You're going to take this message to the whole world. And it's not, you know, Daniel's 70th week has to play out. It can't happen in 40 days. 7 years can't happen in 40 days. It's not time to consummate everything. It's not time to fulfill all prophecy. It's not for you. My Father has a different plan. It happens to be a 2,000-year whatever plan to reach Gentiles and Jews with the gospel of Jesus till he comes again. But you shall receive power, verse 8, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So, going back to Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, we're going to really carefully go through this verse and parallel passage it with other scriptures so that you know it's just not what I'm thinking, but what the prophets and apostles were inspired by God to write. Once again, I want to say, those disciples at the mountain that he's ascending from, if they would have studied prophecy, they wouldn't have even asked the question. Are you going to set up your kingdom now? They shouldn't have even asked the question. Because Daniel's 70th week wasn't done. Jerusalem had to be destroyed. He can't set up his kingdom. And so all that has to happen in the future. Verse 26. So, after the 62 weeks, this is before Jesus was crucified, after this 483 years from the commandment, the Messiah will be cut off, crucified, but not for himself. And the people, the Roman Empire, the prince who is to come, future Antichrist, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That was 70 AD, about 40 years after Jesus ascended into heaven. And the end of it shall be with a flood until the end of the war, desolations are determined. So either the Bible is false in its prophecy. If that 490 years prophecy was all supposed to run together, that time was done, you know, back in before the temple was destroyed. Or, and it's so clear in Scripture from all the other prophets that have written, or that stopwatch at 483 years, it stopped. And it's been waiting to start again until God ordains it to start, which is going to be when the Antichrist makes a covenant for a 7-year period of time that starts it again. Does everybody follow that? Verse 27 of chapter 9, then... And I'm going to say in context, at the end of time. Because Daniel chapter 12 Daniel is being told in chapter 12, Daniel, forget about it, put it up, stop bothering your mind about it. This isn't going to be for you. This prophecy isn't for you. It's for the end of time. So this is, now God is saying to the end of time. Which obviously we're not at yet. Maybe we're in the generation seeing it. I don't know that we are. But things are sure lining up for what's prophesied here and elsewhere. Then he from verse 26 is the prince who is to come, the future Antichrist, shall confirm, means enforce. We'll look at the Hebrew in a minute on that. Enforce a covenant, a peace treaty with many, many nations. I think it'll be a United Nations kind of thing for 1 week. He's going to make a 7-year peace treaty. We talked briefly about this last week. Now we're going to emphasize it. Literally for 1-7. He's going to make a treaty for 1-7 period of time, and that 7 is years, as we showed last week. It has to be years. We'll see it again in our study today. So, 69 of the 70 weeks of years have already been fulfilled. We're talking about the last one. The final one starts when he enforces his peace treaty for 1 year. Well, for him to do that, he has to be a world leader. He can't make a covenant with many unless he's a world leader. And when this last week is over, so it starts when he makes a peace treaty. So what do we know from the prophecy of Daniel? What do we know happens if he starts it with a 7-year peace treaty? At the end of that peace treaty, what happens? Jesus returns. He has to be returning because Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 says, to finish the transgressions, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation, finally to seal up the vision of prophecy, to anoint the Most Holy. And we're going to see that 7 years after the Antichrist takes power, Jesus returns triumphantly. The Antichrist and the world armies are getting ready to fight the battle of Armageddon. Jesus said, had the time not be short and there be no flesh left on earth, the battle of Armageddon would result. If played out in man's purposes, without the intervention of Jesus returning, Jesus said, there would be nobody left on earth. We would annihilate each other in the battle of Armageddon. But because Jesus cuts the time short, he comes back before all flesh is annihilated. He shuts down the Antichrist and his kingdom and his seven-year plan, and he establishes his kingdom on earth and fulfills Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. But he has to be, and actually, and this is my sidelight about the timing, and I'm going to make sure. I haven't heard any other people teach this, but think about this. What feast of Israel does Jesus return on? Jesus returns on the Feast of Tabernacles. All the Jews know that. The Jews know Messiah, when he comes to reign, will return to Israel, Feast of Tabernacles. There's verses that we're not going to get into that show that. Well, that is in September-October time frame. So Jesus, at his coming, puts an end right at the end of the 70th week of Daniel. So he's putting an end to the Antichrist peace treaty at the end of the seven-year period of time at Tabernacles, September-October. So when did the peace treaty get signed? Peace treaty got signed at Tabernacles. You know, one of the ways we're going to be able to tell if we're still around as a church to watch the Antichrist, which I don't think we will be, but just, you know, for those that want to stick around and, you know, figure out who the Antichrist is, have at it. One of the ways you'll know which treaty is actually being signed is it will be an enforced, he will step to enforce. And it doesn't mean that he makes the peace treaty. The emphasis is he has the power to make it happen. It's going to be, you know, there's lots of peace treaties that get signed and then they get ignored. So it might be something gets signed and wheeled and dealed, but it's when the Antichrist comes and makes it happen, makes it stick. That day will be Tabernacles. It will be in the Tabernacles time frame, September, October, because 7 years later, Jesus returns. And see, this is another emphasis with the book of Daniel and the 70th week of Daniel. I can know exactly when Jesus is returning, and the Bible says no one knows the day or the hour that he comes. So if I can know exactly when Jesus is returning, then how can it be a surprise unless there's still two more returnings? See, the one return we don't know the day or the hour of is when he comes to get the church. But after the Antichrist comes on the scene, I know exactly to the day, according to Daniel chapter 12, I know the day Jesus comes back. I can count from the day that he stops the sacrifice and the rebuilt temple of Jerusalem. It says this many days, and that's when it comes. So there has to be two returns the way I see it. And so that means if he comes on Tabernacles and the peace treaty gets signed in Tabernacles, we know that in the middle of that 7 years, he double-crosses the Jews, goes inside the temple, declares himself to be God, stops all sacrifice. And when is that going to be? What's 6 months after Tabernacles? Jewish Passover. So we're going to see that Jewish Passover is when he will go into the rebuilt temple and say, I am God, world, worship me, take my number, bow to me, or I'll exterminate you with the guillotine. France will be having a big export trade at the time. They'll be dusting off all their guillotines from the days of Marie Antoinette and, you know, cranking those guys out. So, verse 27 again. Then he, from verse 26, the prince who is to come, the future Antichrist, shall confirm, and this is the Hebrew word is gabar. And this is the definition of it, to be strong, by implication to prevail, to act insolently. He is going to prevail. No one is going to stop him in making this thing stick. A covenant with many for 1 week. So, he must have the power to be a global leader. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 2. We're going to do a little review for those that haven't been with us. Daniel chapter 2. And as we've seen, Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7 are two chapters where God provided insights to Daniel, one through Nebuchadnezzar, that there's going to be four world ruling empires. First one's going to be Babylon, second one's going to be Medo-Persia, third one's going to be Greece. Fourth one is unnamed in the book of Daniel, but the first three were named. And the final one is the final world empire. Daniel chapter 2, verse 40. And the fourth kingdom, world empire, literally, shall be as strong in iron as inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Go to verse 44. And in the days of these kings, because the final world empire is going to be 10 kings, where one of those 10 is the Antichrist. So there's going to be a federation of 10 kings, but one of those guys is really the global leader. He's picked to be the global leader. Europe has the same thing. The European Union has heads of each one of their states, but they rotate as to which head of what state is the head of the European Union at any particular time. So the same thing's going to happen in this future global empire. Is the Antichrist is going to be the head guy for 7 years. And in the days of these kings, the 10 kings of the world empire, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Consistent with Daniel 9, right? Yeah. So this fourth world empire comes, headed up by the Antichrist. He makes a 7-year deal. He tries to destroy the entire world through peace. He makes peace by destroying everybody. You know, you could have peace if you got rid of everybody that disagreed with you. That's what all the demoniacs of history have done. I mean, Hitler was thinking, get rid of all the Jews. Get rid of all the gypsies. If he would have succeeded that, get everybody taller than me, everybody shorter than me, everybody, you know, he would have just, because he's demoniac, and he wants to just destroy all the people of the world. This Antichrist is going to be the same way, but when Jesus puts a stop to his foolishness, he sets up his kingdom forever. The 70th week is done. Chapter 9, verse 24 is fulfilled. Jesus establishes his kingdom. Let's go to Daniel chapter 7, verse 7. This is a vision that Daniel himself is given about the four world empires. Daniel chapter 7, verse 7. And after this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, a fourth world empire, dreadful, terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before, and it had 10 horns. One of the ways it's different is it's global this time. It's not just Babylon, not just Medo-Persian Empire, not just Grecian Empire, which took a big chunk of the world at the time, but this is global. And right now there's 6 billion people, and if Jesus says it's almost got to the point where there was nobody left, can you imagine 6 billion people being all but annihilated? And see, Daniel's seeing this, and he's just like, boy, it was ferocious, terrible. Verse 8, I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one. This is the prince who is to come, coming up among them, before whom 3 of the first horns were plucked out by the root. So this Antichrist, there's 10 world rulers, but 3 of them must try and fight his rise to power, and so he destroys them and kind of takes over theirs. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words. We covered this in our chapter 7, but I'm just reviewing it to emphasize this guy's a world ruler. I watched till thrones, verse 9, were put in place, and the Ancient of Days, God the Father, was seated. His garment was white as snow, and his hair of the head, and Jesus actually, and his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And I watched, verse 11, then because of a sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. You know, Daniel's seeing two things. He's seeing this glorious vision of Jesus in his power and his glory in heaven, and he hears this spouting off Antichrist with his pompous words blaspheming Jesus, and he goes, I think you should stop doing that. This Jesus is going to deal with you. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which this Antichrist was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning fire. We'll see that in the book of Revelation a little later on. Daniel watched Jesus return to earth, throw this guy into the lake of fire. Go to verse 25. Now it's interpreted. See, that's the vision. Now here's the interpretation. He, this Antichrist, shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law, then the saints shall be given into his hand. Now listen to this. This is important. Given to his hand for a time, times, and half a time. 3.5 years. Now see, this is Daniel chapter 7 talking about the Antichrist. And see, here's the way things are going to go. In the future, there's going to be an Antichrist, and the Jews are going to foolishly be deceived into thinking he's for them. They're going to think this ruler is all for the Jews, because he's going to let the Jews rebuild their temple and give them a peace treaty to protect them from their neighbors. I'm thinking, as we covered in our New Year's Eve study on Wednesday, that most of the neighbors have already been annihilated in the Psalm 83, Isaiah 17 war, and Ezekiel 38, 39 war. But the Antichrist is going to come in the midst of all this global chaos from these wars, where millions have died. And he's going to say, you know what, you Jews, you're just always oppressed. All these people want to annihilate you. They never succeed. I'm your buddy. Build your temple. And then 3.5 years in, he says, thanks for building the temple and worshiping your God. But you know what? I really think I'm God. And I'm going to be worshipped now. And you guys either worship me or die. The Jews will not worship him. They will then realize we goofed. We picked the wrong guy. And for those that listen to the teachings of Jesus, they will at that moment run to the hills of Judea and get away from the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to be like Antiochus Epiphanes in 167 BC, who went on an absolute rampage. When the Jews bothered him, he just started slaughtering them. And this guy is going to be the same way. And that's what it says here. And the saints, the Jewish people of the day, and even people that become Christians during the tribulation period, are going to say, my Christian friend before the rapture told me this guy was going to do this, and I'm not going to bow and worship him. The Antichrist is going to be given power to slaughter people that believe in the God of the Bible. But, verse 26, 3.5 years later, Jesus returns, but the court shall be seated, and they, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him forever. Daniel chapter 2 and 9, you know, it's consistent with 2 and 9. Does everybody see this? There is this Antichrist that comes, rules the world. He thinks he's big Bwana. Jesus comes back, says, no, you're not, throws him into the lake of fire. Turn to Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. This is, and again, we're covering a lot of stuff. I hope we get this done, because I really am hoping we can have one study that I'm making the strongest case I can for understanding this verse and its implications for what is coming upon the world scene someday. Revelation 13, 1. This is John the Apostle. He's writing this 90-some A.D. It's so important. He's writing 90-some A.D., so that means the temple has already been destroyed in Jerusalem. So none of this was fulfilled by the Romans. Then I stood on the sand of the sea. I saw a beast, this prince who is to come that Daniel talks about, rising up out of the sea, the humanity of people, and we're not going to spend the time to justify that, but that's what it's meaning. Having 7 heads, 10 horns, kind of goes along with Daniel, and on his horns, 10 crowns, and on his heads, a blasphemous name. He blasphemes God. That's going to be one of the biggest things about this guy. He's, you know, most of our presidents and world leaders, they'll say, even though they don't mean it at all, they say, God bless America. This guy, his closing statement is going to just be a complete blasphemy against God. Another way to know who he is. And verse 4, so they worshiped the people who do not have a clue, the people who do not understand the Word of God, the people who have rejected Jesus as their Savior. I hope it's no one here. Because the Bible makes it very clear that if you keep turning off Jesus, you get given over to a lie. You'll believe a lie. You'll be anesthetized by God, because God says, I gave you a chance, I gave you a chance, I gave you a chance. And so because you did not love the truth and took pleasure in unrighteousness, then I will give you over to a lie that you will believe the lie. And then there's no hope. So they, the inhabitants of the world, in worshiping this Antichrist because they refuse to worship Jesus. They're worshiping the dragon. They're actually worshiping Satan, who is the power. He's indwelt by Satan himself. Worship the dragon, Satan. And there's no accident that Satan worship is increasing in our world. Who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? He's a global leader that is able to enforce this covenant. Nobody in the world will be able to mess with him, because he's going to be empowered by Satan himself. And God's going to allow him to have that power for 3.5 years to destroy the world. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. How long is 42 months? 3.5 years. And see, he gets possessed by Satan halfway in. See, at first he's kind of the good guy. People think he's really good for the planet. He'll probably talk about green, going green, you know, all this stuff. Everybody's going to love him. And then 3.5 years into it, he morphs. He changes. And God gives him 42 months. And see, this is one of the places we know Daniel's talking about weeks of years. And we have Daniel chapter 12, weeks of years. Everything ties to this 3.5. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. He hates all of us. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. This is the whole world. This is everybody. Everybody on the face of the earth. So for this to be fulfilled, see, how close are we? Well, we're not quite there yet. This guy is going to be able to mark everybody in the world. Not everybody in the world can be marked yet, but we're getting close. Not everybody can be marked with the mark of the beast that we're not even covering here, but it's every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You either worship Jesus or you will worship this guy. If you worship Jesus, you will have life everlasting, but this guy is going to hunt you down and kill you. And there is going to be no getting away from him. If you want to stay alive in the tribulation period, then you might stay alive because you worship the beast and took the mark of his name in your hand or your forehead. But then when you die, you will be lost for eternity. Your soul will be lost. And you stayed alive for 7 years to lose your eternal soul. But if you realize the importance of everlasting life and you turn away from your sins and you don't have pleasure in unrighteousness, you know that God created us not for unrighteousness but to worship him as the true and living God, then you say, as Jesus said, don't fear those who have power to kill the body, but rather fear him who has power of the body and soul. And then we say, I'm going to worship Jesus, and I don't care what this world is going to do, and those days might come even before this Antichrist comes. But if you worship Jesus, if you bowed the knee to him and you said, Jesus, forgive me, a sinner, I know I don't deserve heaven, but I've heard and believe that you died on the cross for a sinner, even me. And some of that blood was shed to cover even my sins, and you'll forgive me, and I want to worship you forever. Then it says, Jesus promises, I will then write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And as soon as you're written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the deception goes away, and you'll see, the people in the tribulation period will see, that's the Antichrist, and I must not bow the knee to him. I've already bowed the knee to Jesus. And there's only one God, and one way to that God, and his, and that way is through Jesus. So back to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and I fear we're going to run out of time. So, then he shall confirm a covenant. This bad guy will confirm and enforce this peace treaty for many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, 3.5 years, time times half a time, it says in other places, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. What I'm going to do in the interest of time is I am going to say, what does it take for him to bring an end to offering and sacrifice? It takes the Jews having offering and sacrifice. Do the Jews today have offering and sacrifice going on in Jerusalem? They do not. Why do they not? Because they don't have a temple. How come they don't have a temple? Because anybody who would try and put a temple on the Temple Mount right now, a Jewish temple on the Temple Mount right now, would start World War III, and it would end with 1 billion Muslims trying to annihilate 5 million Jews, and it would be a conflagration immediately. If somebody just went up there and started, you know, destroying the Dome of the Rock, setting up, what are you doing up? What are you Jews doing up? Oh, we're building the third temple. Oh, okay. it would be bad. Okay, so what we have to know is, one, please stick with me, either the Bible is a lie and, you know, the Bible had these prophets, and don't they know that there would never be a time in history where the Jews would ever be able to build a temple? I mean, the Bible isn't aware that the United Nations and the Vatican are working together to internationalize the city of Jerusalem, so it will never be a problem spot again. It'll be owned by the Vatican and the United Nations, so there won't be all this fighting with these fundamentalists saying that it's their city. And that's going to be forever. The Jews will never be able to build their temple. Oh, okay, if the Jews never build their temple, the Bible's not the truth. But, again, when you line up these wars that are, you know, maybe happening soon, if Israel someday wakes up and Lebanon is gone, because that's what Psalm 83 says is going to happen someday, Gaza is gone, because that's what Psalm 83 happens someday, Damascus ceases to exist as a city, is no longer the capital of a country, and there's not a single soul in the city of Damascus, that only animals will go there and nobody will bother them. Isaiah chapter 17. And you realize that Jordan, the same way, Moab, Ammon, are destroyed. And then you have Iran invading Israel with Russia, Libya, Turkey, and Sudan, Ethiopia. And all those are destroyed by God, according to Ezekiel 38, 39. Then Israel would be looking around and going, neighborhood looks pretty safe. Doesn't look as bad as it used to. Now the Bible makes it clear Israel's going to be licking its wounds. It's going to be down, but it's not going to be out. It's going to be horribly, horribly affected. But the nations that sought her complete annihilation will be gone, will be dead. And imagine if millions are dead because of weapons of mass destruction being used. Isaiah 17 is so clearly Damascus being some kind of weapons of mass destruction that animals go there, but people don't, to bother them, as we covered in our New Year's Eve service. The world will be reeling. The world will be demanding what? Global government. The world will be demanding the total elimination of nuclear weapons and other weapons of mass destruction. They will be demanding that a world leader take charge to make things happen, and they will be, just like in 1948, the world realized, this Hitler guy, he really did those Jews a bad deal. And he shouldn't have done that. And we ought to let the Jews live in the land that was their homeland for thousands of years before God kicked them out. And they gave them the land of Israel. This future world ruler will say to the world, the Jews survived. 5 million Jews survived when they were being basically pounced on by 1 billion Muslim Arabs. Why don't we let them build their temple? And why don't we do a 7-year peace treaty with the survivors, where ultimately there will be a decision what we do with Jerusalem 7 years. You know, at first they, you know, we'll just divvy up the property this way, let the Jews build their temple, and then 7 years from now we'll vote about what to do with Jerusalem. Something like that. And the Jews will be building their temple. And if you read Revelation 11, listen to our study on Revelation 11, Zechariah 4, you will see that the Bible is very clear. There is going to be another temple. And I wish we would have had the time to get into these two witnesses. There's two witnesses that are going to be making sure that the Jews are able to. And then 3.5 years into them helping the Jews build their temple, opposing all people with miraculous signs from God. Then the Antichrist, at 3.5 years, kills them. Kills these two guys sent by God to make sure the Jews can build their temple. And then he kills them. The whole world throws a party. The whole world sees them dead in the streets, as I've emphasized in the Revelation study. In the time that John the Apostle was writing, he was writing, all the inhabitants of the world are seeing their dead bodies sitting in the streets of Jerusalem. How does that happen? In fact, you see commentators from 1800s, they go, that must mean that each country had somebody there that saw it, because you can't see, the whole world can't see him there. But now, can the whole world see what's happening in Jerusalem and throwing a big party 3.5 years into it? Yes, they'll be able to. So the Antichrist is going to kill these two guys, and he's going to say, see, I'm God. These guys were saying they were from the real God, and they were just, you know, consuming everybody that came against these Jews. But now I'm the real God. I killed them. And then he's going to go in the temple that's been rebuilt. He's going to declare himself to be God. It'll be 3.5 years of unbelievable agony for the inhabitants of the world. And again, you can listen to our study on Revelation 11. He'll bring an end to sacrifice. And Daniel chapter 12, verse 6. Let's turn there. And And this is another reason why it says that he shall confirm a covenant with many for one 7-year period of time, but in the middle of that time, he'll bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and he will, and on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate. In Daniel 12:6, it says, and one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long? So this one guy is saying to another, how long until these things are fulfilled for Daniel's sake, so Daniel can listen. Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever. So this is a good angel. That it shall be for a time, year, times, 2 years, half a year, half a time, 3.5 years. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all things shall be finished. So how long is this Antichrist going to be able to wreak havoc upon the remnant of the Jewish people around the world? For 3.5 years, and then when they're totally shattered, when they are seeing their total annihilation, Jerusalem, as we find out, the Antichrist busts into Jerusalem on the Battle of Armageddon, about to destroy everybody that's left. Then Jesus comes, and the Jews will at that point realize, we are so dead, we're done. Our Messiah is not going to come. We're all going to be annihilated. And then they see Jesus coming from the heavens. And verse 8, although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. I've wanted to understand this. Why? Because I want to be wise. I want to be wise in Jesus. I don't want to just be blind and dumb and just go through life as a Christian. I want to be wise. Whatever he's given me in his word, I want to know. I hope you do too. And then he goes on to say, and from the time that the daily sacrifice, I believe it will be Passover on some future year, that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, which Paul explains in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, is the Antichrist going into the Holy of Holies of the rebuilt temple and declaring that he is God. He might sacrifice a pig or something there too. He will do something that will be abominable to the Jews. There shall be 1,290 days. We'll explain why there's 90 instead of 60 days when we get to chapter 12. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335th days. We'll explain that too. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest. You're going to die. And you will arise at your inheritance at the end of days, but it's not for you. Let's turn to Matthew 24, and we'll read the words of Jesus and then conclude our study. Matthew 24. See, these prophecies were written about 535 B.C. again. Some people have said that this is all fulfilled by Antiochus Epiphanes. Well, that was 350 years later, still 167 B.C. Antiochus Epiphanes defiled the temple that existed at the day. But then after Antiochus Epiphanes came Jesus. And Jesus speaks of Daniel's prophecies of the abomination of desolation as being yet future. So we know it has to be a future time. Chapter 24, verse 15, Jesus, this is the Olivet Discourse. And Jesus is telling the Jewish people, and he's speaking to a future Jewish people through his Jewish disciples that were with him that day. This is just a couple, 3 days before he's crucified. Therefore, when you, future Jewish people, been deceived by the Antichrist, he let you build your temple and you're all happy with him. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, Daniel chapter 9 verse 27, Daniel chapter 12, standing in the holy place, you can't have the holy place in Jewish vernacular is the holy place of the temple. The holy of holies or holy place. You have to have a temple. Standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. God wants us to understand this. He doesn't want us to ignore prophecy. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Going to verse 21. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were short and no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, and so he's really kind of backing up, when people say this Antichrist is it, he's the Messiah, he's saying, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand, going to verse 27, for as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus will end the Antichrist's seven-year rule. The first 3.5, good guy, last 3.5 years, worst the world has ever seen. And the world's seen some pretty gnarly despots, assassins, murderers. And Jesus is saying the world has seen nothing compared to what this guy will be doing to the masses of the world. And how does Jesus return? He says, you Jews, please don't believe this guy, even though, as I mentioned last week, the Jews are primed to believe this guy. Any guy that gives them peace will be their Messiah. And Jesus begged them, don't do it, because when I come again, it's going to be, you don't have to wonder about it, it's going to be from heaven like lightning shining from the east to the west. He warned them, they don't listen. He warns you, actually, too. If you're here today and you don't believe in Jesus, he warns you. Are you forgiven of your sins? First of all, I could say, do you know you're a sinner? Everybody I've ever talked to, yes, I'm a sinner. Well, what are you going to do about your sin? Well, I'm just going to stand up in front of God and say, well, I was better than some assassin or murderer or adulterer or whatever else. I'm not really that bad of a person. I'm pretty good. Jesus warns you not to do that. He warns you that unless you can go and stand before God Almighty and tell him that you're as holy as he is, that you're as good as he is, that you're as perfect as he is, then you better get a lawyer before you go. And that lawyer is Jesus Christ. And he is willing to stand before the Father and says, Father, my client is not guilty by reason of his sanity to bow the knee to our plan of confessing his sin before us. And by the shed blood that I shed on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago that washed this humble servant and cleansed him of all sin, and by a righteous decree of our plan, he is pardoned. And his name is written in the book of life. That is what God warns every soul on the face of this earth to do. And it is only the foolishness of man that rejects that perfect, precious plan and instead goes willy-nilly on their way to eternity, the day that their souls are required of them, which none of us know in this room, and your soul is required, and you will be standing before God, either on your own righteousness and unrighteousness, or bathed and washed in the righteousness of Christ through his shed blood on the cross. I pray that all those here are ready to meet God on his plan. Let's stand it. Father, I thank you for your word, and I stand in awe, Lord, of these prophecies hundreds of years apart, different prophets and apostles, all presenting this cohesive end-day scenario that's coming upon the world someday. And Father, it just testifies to the fact that it must be breathed by you, the God who stands outside of time and has told us and warned us of these days that are coming, warned us of the days that we're going to, of the death that we'll all experience in this room someday and either be forgiven or headed for the judgment we deserve. And I pray, Lord Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, you convict all of us here to be on our knees before you, thanking you for what you've done to save us through your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have seen the good hand of God. I have seen the good hand of the Lord. I have seen him moving in this place. I have seen the good hand of the Lord. He's moving.
Hand of salvation, saying, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then you grab that good hand of the Lord and walk boldly into the throne of grace with Jesus. Pray you've all done that. May the Lord bless your week and day and give you a deeper love for Him until He comes for you and protect you and guide you in Jesus' name.